Lord, I thank you for this gathering, because that's what I considered a gathering, is where people come together that want to be together. And Lord, I ask and I pray that you cleanse our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would open up and show us any darkness that we can walk out of, repent of. Give us the strength to do that, Lord. And I thank you for it. Father, I ask for healing in the heart for those that need it. I ask also, Lord, for healing of the body and deliverance of the spirit from all of those tormenting spirits that have hindered our walk, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you fill us up with your Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is that overcoming power to overcome sin and to overcome those things that are displeasing to you, Father. And I ask, Lord, that if there's anybody within the sound of my voice that's not filled with the Holy Spirit, that you would place it in their hearts, because it is a commandment of yours to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I thank you, Lord, that that's going to happen. Because I know, Lord, that we can't walk this earth in a sanctified way without the Holy Spirit. We have to have him. We need that direction. We need that guidance. We need that unction. We need that cleansing power that he gives us to walk that walk, Lord. And I ask that tonight, Lord, that you would set us free. And not only set us free, Lord, that your glory would come down and envelop every one of us. And that tonight would be an awesome time with you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight is going to be special. In whatever way you want to direct us, Lord, whatever way you want to lead us, Lord, that's the way we want to go. And let us speak only as an oracle of you, Lord. Because we each want to be perfect in your eyes, Lord. We all want to have those garments of praise on us, those white, cleansed, brilliant white garments, Lord. Sometimes, Lord, it's hard to put that old flesh down, but with your Holy Spirit, we can do it. And I thank you for your cleansing power. And I praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing in each and every one of us, Lord, to attain to that sanctification that you want us to have. Not only in the spirit, but in the soul as well. And I praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing in us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. All right. Thank you, Lord God. All right. Anybody got any prayer requests? Anybody got any prayer requests? Yeah, Matt, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I just was talking to my dad tonight, so I like to lift him up in prayer. He's the Lord's putting him through a lot of things right now, and my prayer is that the Lord would use all these to open his eyes. So, Lord, we thank you for the trials that you're putting my dad through to humble him, make him see that he can't do it. Doctors can't do it. Lord. And while you're at it, you might as well take out some pride too. And we thank you for doing that. And we thank you for all these trials that you're putting him through physically with his body, Lord. And I thank you for restoring him after he comes to you, Lord. Restoring his body. And thank you, Lord, for doing this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for a restored dad completely. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. iPad Judy and Sue G. How y'all is? How y'all doing? Everything all right? That's cool. Amen. All right, anyone else got a prayer request? Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
I had two confessions to make. Last couple of weeks, I asked the Lord quite a few times to show me my heart of all the political stuff from my work and so much about racism and everything. I thought I wasn't a racist or against the black, but he showed me there's rumors a little bit, and I have to confess that. I ask that before you now, forgive me. And the second one is, I do have a lot of patience with other people, but I don't have a lot of patience with Nora. I'm not sure how, but probably not a fair request to ask him to show me why I have a patience with other people and not with Nora. And I have to confess that I want to be clean. I want to be clean before the Lord and not just be a Christian, to be a normal Christian. That's all.
Okay. Father, we thank you for Joe's confession, Lord. And we know that once we do confess our sin, that those sins are as far from you as the east is to the west. Now he's cleansed. He's righteous in your eyes. And Father, we thank you for that overcoming power. We thank you, Father, that I ask, Lord, that you fill him up with your Holy Spirit. We all need a new infilling every day. And I ask that you fill him up and give him that power to overcome. And Father, I thank you for Joe's complete sanctification. In Jesus' name, Lord, he loves you. I know it does. And I thank you, Lord, that you are working in him a mighty work. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Lord, touch Nora, too. In Jesus' name. Take any unforgiveness out of her as well. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anyone else? Hey, Pat. Good to have you on, brother.
Glad to be on. Can I pray for Joe as well?
Yes, sir, you can.
Father, we thank you that in our confession, in Joe's confession, that the demons are scattering right now, that the light is shining in those areas. And though many times we don't feel it or we don't sense any kind of a change, but just when that light goes on, they scatter. They scatter for a new place, a new position of ground someplace else. So I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that you've given us authority to tread on those serpents and scorpions and put our foot on their neck and kick them out, boot them out. And we just thank you for that. Just pray, Lord, for Joe, that you would give him a spirit of wisdom and understanding and discernment, a sensitivity of your spirit, Lord, to give him discernment when the devil is trying to take back ground in those areas, Lord, and that you would He would yield up that place to you immediately, and just to receive and walk in that true, that cleanness and that clarity and that truth and that position of strength. Lord, build, put a strength in him to learn, to stand in these areas and to overcome, even as you overcome in these areas. We claim that for Joe right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for that, Lord. Just make him a mighty, mighty warrior in that area of the country. Lord, we do see that that area of the country is under a vicious attack of the devil, Lord, that trying to pound down and trying to oppress people, trying that bitterness is running rampant in that area, as it is in this country, Lord. It's covering the earth, but Lord, we know that you've given us the tools not only to stand but to overcome. These rules of the earth do not apply for us anymore. We have been translated into a new kingdom, a new authority, a new life, and we can stand in confidence of your victory in this situation. We thank you for it. We just pray that victory in Joe's life, that you would mend his heart in the necessary places and strengthen him in your name. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
Well, I guess I got two prayer requests. The first one I kind of, I don't know. I asked Matt and I asked Judy on Facebook last week. There's a old high school friend that I guess I befriended. You know, since I've been back on Facebook again, and well, he contacted me out of the blue last week. You know, I guess he just wanted to. I don't know what exactly is going on, you know, in this situation, but you know, I guess confess where he's at in his life. You know, it's like where I once was. You know, just he's pretty upset with God. You know, he wasn't shy to tell me, yeah, I'm not happy with God and where I'm at in my life. You know, and I mean, I'm not sure how. You know, I think he said, and I mean, I tried to tell him, you know, I guess share some of what I've been through. I mean, you know, and just hopefully something I said made sense to him. But I think it's that, you know, a lot of it is he's very upset with God, you know, and where he is. You know, I guess I sense he feels he should be somewhere better than where he is. You know, it sounds like he made some bad decisions in life. And he was telling me, you know, I mean, I remember in high school when it was perfect, or I think I was perfect. And all I can really remember is a guy who just tried very hard to be accepted by everybody. You know, I mean, and he also confessed to me, he said, you know, I'm very concerned about what people think of me. And I was thinking, yeah, that's the kind of guy I used to remember as a kid. You know, when we were through high school, we were friends, you know, here and there, not the best of friends, but I mean, we used to hang out a lot. And so it just kind of dawned on me. I thought, yeah, I saw that a lot. You wanted to be well liked by everybody. And, you know, you were like the class clown type, you know, like the Joker, you know, I mean, the one who loves to tell jokes. But I mean, I knew that was something. I mean, yeah, that's just symptoms of something deeper. So the Lord's brought him back in my life. I mean, you know, I do believe the Lord's working on him. And I mean, he was open about it, but yeah, he just said, you know, yeah, I'm not happy with God. You know, I mean, I'm not sure what's at the base of that, but then he gave me a video. I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with the old book. There was a Jewish rabbi, Harold Kushner. He wrote the book When Bad Things Happen to Good People. You know, and he gave me a video on YouTube, said, watch this, you know, and I went ahead and watched it. And it's, I mean, he's a very liberal rabbi from Chicago. So, I mean, you know, and so it was, had a very skewed understanding just of, you know, yeah, suffering, you know, what happens. He was looking through the book of Job and just, you know, just a very, I mean, not a very biblical view of those, you know, very skewed understanding, you know, okay, why are bad things happening? Because I guess he had a child. Oh, I forget what the condition was. I think he passed away when he was 12. And, you know, he didn't know what to think of that, you know, and how to receive that. So he gave me that, and I sensed, well, this is probably how my friend, old friend Will feels. You know, I guess he's had these circumstances or whatever. So, I mean, I'll go ahead and pray for him. You know, you guys, you know, agree with me. I need some wisdom, just understanding, okay, why is Will contacting me out of the blue? You know, he doesn't seem too open, you know, I mean, to what you know, my faith. I mean, I'll post stuff from time to time, hopefully encourage somebody or get people thinking. And, you know, maybe he is. I you know, I'm not too sure, but, you know, I wanted to lift him up in prayer here. So, yeah, just go and agree with me. Father God, I just come to you. I thank you for Will, you know, just the, how you cross paths, you know, with us early on in life. And, God, you've been working on him. Yeah, I mean, you know, I believe it. I mean, you've been working on his heart. You've brought him to where he is. I think that's one thing he needs to understand, Lord, help him to understand that, is that, you know, despite all our bad decisions we've made, you know, like I actually agreed with him. Yeah, God, it's, you know, you are sovereign. You know, I was trying to tell him that you're in control of absolutely everything. And, you know, you're not the one to blame for, you know, our bad decisions, you know, the choices we make, but you're in control of everything, and you can use those ultimately to bring us to you, you know, and bring us to your son, Jesus. And I pray, Father, through all this, you know, whatever reason you have for him in my life, and, you know, right now, why he's coming to me, you know, Lord, give me wisdom, you know, understanding on what I must say, what I must do. You know, I'm totally unsure what's, you know, is he truly seeking, you know, or is he wanting to try to tell me, you know, I mean, is he trying to discourage me? You know, is the enemy working through him right now to try to discourage me from my faith, or to get me to question what I believe, you know, whatever it is, Lord, you know, just give me wisdom, understanding on what I must do here, you know, concerning Will. You know, is he truly seeking, or is this a ploy from the enemy to try to, you know, get me off track? So thank you, Lord, for the wisdom you give me. Thank you for, you know, working in his life, you know, help him to, Lord, teach, you know, most of all, I pray you'd have mercy on him, you know, like me, you had mercy, you know, and just show him how much you love him, you know, how you're not this, you know, unfair and just, God who sees you, you know, just, you know, fit to just make us miserable and to make us, you know, upset, you know, because you don't give us what we want. And now that's not you, God, but help him to see who you really are. And, you know, I pray through that you'd have mercy upon him. You know, you would pour out your grace and your mercy and your love. Most of all, let him know that you're not mad with him. You're not upset, you know, and you just, that you love him, you know, and that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross 2000 some years ago for him. May he realize that. And that, you know, his sin, you know, is what Jesus came for, to deal with. Help him to see all that, Lord. You know, I mean, help him to see that who exactly you are, like you showed me. And I thank you for what you're doing in his life, what you have done. And I ask that you would bless, just bless this whole situation, Lord. You know, help me. I mean, this is a growing situation for me in my faith, you know, but, you know, you probably want to teach me a few things. Help me to see what it is and to be, you know, receptive, to be obedient in this, and to learn what it is you want me to learn, Lord, you know, most of all. And I thank you for this in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Most of the time that people blame God, a lot of times is because they think that their circumstances, that they ought to have a smooth ride through life. Yeah. And they don't understand that when we're not following after the Lord, that thing, and he's trying to get our attention. And that's what happens a lot of times is, you know, he says, okay, I'm going to do this. Look here. Now check me out. You know, that's what happened. But anyway...
Yeah.
Well, hang on just a minute. I see her, Judy. Hang on just a minute. That's all right. Go ahead, y'all. Go ahead. That'd be fine.
Amen. My sister just called me a few days ago. She's from Wisconsin. Her name is Nancy, and she's saved, but she's not baptized in water or baptized in the Spirit. And I'd like her to have more connection, because she wants to have more connection with the Lord. She wants to know the Lord more, and she expressed that in that phone call. And so I'd like to lift her up. So, Lord, I just lift up Nancy to you and ask that you would draw her more by your Spirit. Lord, bring her to want to be connecting on with UBM. She's read Sovereign God, Lord, or she's reading it, and she's starting to understand it. And, Lord, she just you're drawing her through that, Lord, and I thank you for that. And I pray, Father God, that she would hear from you and be obedient to you, and that she would even start out maybe coming on the conference calls or listening to Bible studies. Father, I just pray that you would just show her and guide her and lead her into your direction, your way, that you what you want her to do, Lord. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that you've given us authority over the demons. And I break the power of Satan, all you demons that would try to hinder my sister from hearing from you and receiving from you, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And also, I'd like to pray for David. There's not our David. This is Jeff and Sandy's friend. His name is David. And he has had a big
kidney stone.
They found out today it was 9 centimeters. That's a big one. Because he had six. They said he had six, and I figured that out. It was 2 inches, a little over 2 inches. So I can imagine what 9 is, 9 centimeters. But anyway, he's not going to have surgery till tomorrow. I'm not sure if it's in the early morning or anything, but I'd like to cover that in prayer. And he's not been a believer, but he's listening. He's listening to Jeff and Sandy, and he's asking questions. And so, Lord, I just thank you, Father, for drawing David. I pray, Father God, in the midst of this operation they're supposed to have in regards to getting rid of this stone. I'm not sure what kind of procedure they're going to do, if they're going to do internal surgery or do it through laser or however, I don't know. But I pray, Father God, that this whole process that he's going through will draw him even more to you, that you would put a hunger and thirst in his life for you, Lord God, that he would be, you would just woo him and draw him by your Spirit, Lord, that he would just want to know more, and that he would want to receive you, Lord, that he would have eyes to see you and ears to hear from you and want to follow you, Lord God, and that he would that his heart would come to you and he would receive you, Lord God. And I break the power of Satan that would try to hinder that as well, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. And I thank you for that, whatever they're going to do, whatever the hospital is going to do, that it would be done properly and without any harm, without any problems, and that he would know it was by your hand that he's where he's at, and that you are going to protect him in the midst of it all, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just ask that you use this to bring him to you in a mighty way.
Yes.
I know you can do that. If he's out, if they take him out, Lord, take him to heaven or take him to hell, whatever, you know, ever what it Amen. Takes to get his yes. attention. And Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord. We're just we declare and decree that he's going to be a mighty man of God.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
All right. Michael. Oh, hi, Michael. Judy. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Okay.
There's a lady, Kathleen Missmore, that lives in Brazil. That she's the one that actually got me in to UBM. But she's talking with a gentleman from Yemen, Hassan, and he's trying to convert other Muslims, and they're underground, and they're going through lots of stuff. And one of the guys had an operation, and I think she gave him enough money to be able to take care of that. But they were going to take parts of his body if he couldn't pay for the operation. He had to sign a paper and said, you know, I'll pay for this operation. If I can't pay the money, you'll take my liver, you'll take my kidney or something, you know. But anyhow, this
gracious.
Yeah, the boy's only 18 years old that had the operation. He's doing real good. He had he was bleeding, and it just stopped bleeding, and the doctors couldn't believe what was happening, you know. And so he's going to be released tomorrow. But this guy is just, you know, we just want to pray for him continually, Kay said, because he's always in danger. So, Lord, I want to lift up Fawn to you, and I want to pray that you keep a protective hedge around him, and that nothing happens to him, and that he's able to preach and tell the gospel to a lot of different Muslims and convert them, and have lots of Christians over there and believers. And we thank you for the work that he's doing. We thank you for the work that Kathleen's doing to talk to him and sending him information. He can't have a Bible, and he can't have our books. He can't have any of that stuff over there. So she's sending it like in other forms so he can make copies of it. So Lord, we thank you that at least he can get a copy of it in some way. And we thank you that he's going to translate Sovereign God for us, you know, into Arabic. And we thank you for all that's going on there. And we give you the praise, Lord, because we know that you're taking care of it.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. This guy that you're talking about that had the operation, is he the one that is the Christian and been out bringing other Muslims to Christ?
No.
It's
somebody shaking their head yes, and somebody shaking their head no. So I don't.
No, he is Hassan, Hasan, is the one that's doing the work, and he brought this 18-year-old boy, you know, to see
new convert. He's a new convert.
See the gospel.
Okay, yeah, I got you. Okay. All right, Lord, we thank you for showing yourself strong to Hassan. And we thank you, Lord, that he's going to go out and give the message out. And, Lord, we just ask and we pray that you help and protect all that this young man converts, that he brings to you, Lord. And I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, that if he's in trouble, that you translate him out of it in the name of Jesus. And any of those converts over there that are expanding your kingdom through these Muslims, Lord, and I praise you for it. That's a hellish religion, if that's what it is. And, Lord, we thank you for bringing them out of it. I understand that these men, when they come out of it, they come running to you, Father, because they've never known love. All they've known is hate and hate and hate. That's all they know. But when they see the love of Christ, Lord, they just come wholeheartedly to you. And I praise you, Father, that other people are going to see it and they're going to flock to you, Lord. And I thank you for your big warrior angels surrounding about all of them. Your hedge of protection around them, Lord. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Anything else, y'all? Okay. All right. Anyone else got a prayer request? Yeah, Barbara, go ahead. Oh, I thought you raised your hand. Did you raise your hand?
I don't think so. I don't know how.
Okay.
I'm sorry. My husband's here. He wants to talk. I was just trying to maneuver on the phone here.
Okay. Yeah, we can see you. We can hear you.
Hi, brethren. How you all doing?
Hey, Bruce. What's up, buddy?
Hey, not much. Praising the Lord here and rejoicing. Know that I'm going to be healed, and I'm healed in the name of Jesus Christ. And amen. I just say hi, brethren, to all y'all. Let you know I'm doing good.
Okay, good. Praise God.
I've been really pounding the word. And my little sister, she just turned 49 today, and she has a rare form of leukemia, and she's been going in every few weeks for 7 days of straight chemo. And we've been trying to do Bible studies together. And
awesome.
I've been giving her some healing scriptures. Today I gave her some. And I'm trying to be her, inspiration, and she's my inspiration too. I mean, I want her to, she's got closer to Jesus. I mean, she really has. The only problem is right now she is living with her fiance, and they're waiting on his divorce to go final. But other than that, I mean, she's reading her Bible and following in Christ is the best that she knows how. She's a baby.
I understand. All right. Good to see you, brother.
Nice seeing you, and I'm hoping to come down sometime.
Okay. We're believing for you. Amen. Praise God. Yeah. You're a walking miracle, aren't you, buddy?
Yep. Yes, I am.
Okay. All right. You're getting your strength back every day, huh?
Oh, yeah. I was out working on my truck today. I'm trying to put an engine in it. But I'm gaining weight, and I'm doing better.
Okay.
Praise God. And it's not the medical field doing it anyway. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, and I stand on his promises. And I'm in awe at him. You know, it's got me closer to him. And I just want to just praise God with all my heart. And I just thank you, brethren, because I know your prayers have worked, and I'm standing on every prayer, and I just want to thank everyone that has prayed for me.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, brother. God bless you.
God bless you.
We're looking for your visit.
Amen.
We might want to lay hands on you. You never know. All right, brother. God bless you.
God bless you, too.
All right. Anyone else? What about a praise report or a testimony? Hey, Tim, go ahead, bro.
I don't know about you guys, but that just made my month.
Amen. Man, too.
Hearing him and the report, and the prayers are being heard, being answered, and praise God, that was awesome. I just got joy in me right now. I'm just happy as I can be, and I'm just delighted about that. So, praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for Bruce's complete healing. All right. Oh, my. All right, anyone else? I just want to say something. People come into your life, and some make you happy. Happy, happy, happy. And some make you a little sad. And I just appreciate all of the brothers and sisters out there that listen, and I don't know what I'm trying to say other than the love that I have in my heart for everybody here is just amazing how God does that, And I just want to tell you how much I appreciate everybody that comes on this outreach and listens to it, too, because there's many more that listen. I don't know what prompted that, but God, I just had to tell you that. All right. Anybody else got a praise report or a testimony? Yeah, Pam.
Well, I have a confession and a testimony and a praise report. So, which kind of is my mode of operation. I usually get humbled and dealing with sin, and the Lord usually shows me something through the process and brings me through to victory. So I know that I have been praying and kind of consistently blessing my project, my work every morning and every night. And the Lord just kind of taught me a few things through that, which has kind of been exciting. But I have been dealing with, I think since I've got into the group here, it was really kind of a continuance of seeking the Lord about some things that I want done in my life. And it seems like I have consistently dealt with a sin of the fear of man for a long time. It's like one of those underlying things that's always been in me that undercuts my faith and just kind of comes up in any particular time of pressure or where I really need to stand, and that's where I usually fail, or I have failed in the past. And I had a situation at my work that where we had an incident at work. It was not an accident, but it was kind of a incident where a customer of the store that I'm working in right now got hurt on a piece of our equipment. But didn't get hurt, but it was one of those things like they bumped their head or something. And of course, if you're in our business or in any kind of a business where you're dealing with the public, there's always that aspect of people hurting themselves or saying they're hurting them. They got hurt doing something. They tripped on a cigarette butt laying on the parking lot or whatever. And we're in kind of a litigious society now where you can be sued for just about anything and everything. So anyway, in my role as a superintendent, we have certain processes that we have to go through and that we're responsible to, if any kind of an incident comes up like that, we have a certain protocol we go through and we, talk to the person, basically see if they're all right, et cetera. And then have them fill out a form or fill out some information so we can get a report so we can file it, hand it in, because usually what happens is later on you're visited by, the lawyers of various different companies get together, and of course then there's a lawsuit filed and this and that and whatever. So it becomes a big battle in the courts type of thing. Which is kind of standard procedure in the businesses, this type of business. But anyway, so I was right in the middle of a meeting and got somebody called me and said there's been an incident up here, and so I had to break out of the meeting and go up, and I was supposed to interview this, go through this process, interview this person, and. And when I got up there, I saw this lady, and she was sitting on a chair, and I'm not quite sure if she was the right lady, but I suspected she did. But she was, anyway, she sat there, and the basic bottom line is I came up there, and I was, I don't know if I was fearful about talking with her because I didn't know what I was going to ask and this and that and whatever, and then, of course, I got a phone call, and I was talking to somebody else and putting out another fire, so to speak. And anyway, she was being interviewed by someone from the store. So I just left, went and took some pictures of the particular area, et cetera, where the incident took place. And anyway, I got back and she was gone. I didn't get a chance to talk with her or whatever. So, and I just kind of sloughed it off. Oh, well, whatever. And kept on going. Well, a couple days later, I started thinking about that and realized that of course, though I don't see it happening in the background, there's a whole, you know, the reports have been made and probably lawyers are already reading the report and figuring out what they're going to do. Contact is going to be made to whatever, to the owner. And so I got this whole train of thought started going through my mind. And I started then, of course, feeling that, you know what, you really screwed up, Pat. You didn't do your job. You're in the fault here. You need to, you know, and then the thoughts came in, you're probably going to get fired. You're going to, you've been battling over this for a long time and it's your fault. You're a procrastinator. You're this. And of course you start get, and you, all these thoughts start barraging me. And so, I woke up in the middle of the night at 2 o'clock in the morning. And of course this thought was right on my mind and I was, and, it was hammering me. And all these vicious thoughts and attacks that were coming my way, of course, they had a point of truth there. I was guilty for not fulfilling my responsibility, so to speak. And so it was hard for me to battle against the thing. And then I say that in that context because of what happened later, but this whole situation, this sin is still hanging on, still in there somewhere. It still is lodged in there and pops its ugly head up at certain times and takes me out, kind of cripples my walk type of thing. So I confessed it as sin and immediately claimed 1 John 1:9 and claimed that cleansing and then started the battle of fighting these thoughts and everything. Now, it was one of those times when I woke up in the middle of the night and the fear was so intense that it was almost making me sick at my stomach type of thing. And I really didn't feel like I got the victory or got peace through the thing. I just was in fighting mode and just battling the thing out. I went to work. I didn't even feel like I could really bless my crews because I didn't feel like it, you know, going to work. But I did anyway. And then I went to work and the attacks continued on because when I went to work, I felt, man, you one of the thoughts that went through my mind is you're going to be lucky to get through this day, dear. You better get your act together, you know? But anyway, I went to work and it only seemed to get worse. And I was being accused and attacked by one of the foremen in such a way that it was a very vicious It was a vindictive, a disrespectful, antagonistic, angry, vengeful, critical, spiteful, almost threatening type of spirit coming out of this person. And I still haven't figured out exactly, well, I have figured it out, but I couldn't figure out what was happening there, why this particular guy was so angry at me or whatever. And I just went through the day and I more or less just tried to ignore him. I didn't want to, you know, create a stir at this particular stage of the game, because our project is running very successfully, and it looks like we are actually going to make the schedule that we didn't think we were going to do. And it's in such a point right now where there's certain things that I could do that would probably disrupt the natural flow of what we're trying to accomplish here, and would probably be counterproductive, even though it probably needs to happen. So I just kind of ignored this individual and kind of went around him in certain aspects, talking to my boss, how do you want me to handle this, etc., type of thing. So I made it through the day, and I was totally exhausted through that day. As a matter of fact, this was probably Tuesday. What's today? Today's Tuesday. It was Thursday, because I wasn't in the meeting, and that was the day it was. And I came home at like 7 o'clock and went to bed and never just slept right through it. So that's why I wasn't in the meeting. But I got out of bed, and the battle was still on. So it was like a few days going through the thing. And then we've been working 7 days a week on this project. So everybody's, and they're, you got crews working at night, and everybody's in a tension mode. Everybody's exhausted. Everybody's working on 4 hours sleep and that sort of thing. So it's one of those type of environments. Yesterday I woke up and the thing hit me that I am not battling flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. And so I did something a little bit different. And that was, I read this yesterday morning, and normal procedure is to go and just start blessing each individual or each contractor in the process for the day, for unity and everything. But this time I prayed specifically against that spirit that was motivating that critical, vengeful, angry spirit in this person, and binding that spirit and casting it down, and asking God to humble this person, to not so I could get my way or feel better about it, but to when a person is in that kind of awareness, and they are so overcome by anger and critical spirit, they can't really see, they can't really understand things. They're deceived, and there's a heavy influence of that deception in their life. And so that kind of tends to dissolve when we get humbled by something, or we humble ourselves But usually we get humbled by some sort of circumstance, and it gives us the power to at least think logically or clearly about it. So anyway, sometime during the process of that day, I realized, Jesus said, a man can receive nothing unless it be given from above. And he taught me some specifics on that relative to authority and the authority structure and our, and being able to receive from God, receive from him who is above, receive what we need. We have to respect God, and we have to trust God. We have to desire to receive from God, of course. And people will usually not, if they're not in a receiving mode, the only place they can receive it is from above, from a higher power. And so what I did was I talked to my boss. How do you want me to handle this situation? And I wrote an email to this individual, and I pointed out what he had done, you know, negligence on his part, what he did, and it caused us to miss an inspection that we were trying to get on the building. And it delayed us a day in this whole process and messed things up, so to speak. So I wrote him an email, and I copied, of course, my boss, and I copied his boss on it as well. And the interesting thing, obviously, with that concept is that you bring his boss or his higher authority into the picture over him, and so everybody knows what the problem is and what the cause was, type of thing. And so in doing that, you bring that higher power over him, and he then is more motivated to receive. He's not going to receive from me because he doesn't respect me or the authority that I hold. But the person paying his paycheck, writing his check, he respects to a certain degree. And so anyway, I came in this morning, and it's like a light. It totally dissolved. When he spoke to me, and that critical, vengeful attitude was gone. It was subdued. And he spoke to me and actually looked at me. Usually he doesn't even look at me. He looks away and walks away talking or mumbling at me or whatever. But he was talking to me, and he said, and he gave me a report of what the corrections that he had made on the particular project, et cetera, and so that we could get our inspection, type thing. But his whole attitude changed significantly. And I realized that, because I was listening to the message, David's message, Sunday, and it was significant. He was talking about that very thing, about this factious spirit. This factious spirit that's attacking right now, attacking us, and I don't know. It was just it was a little kind of a learning process again, where I just learned not only do you have to bless these people, these crews and everything, and bless this unity, but when something arises that's a obvious attack against that process, then you have to correct it. And again, we're not fighting with flesh and blood. We're fighting with principalities and powers and authorities above those people that are pulling their strings, so to speak. So I don't know if that explained what it is. I'm still searching, still in that searching mode. And I think that that must leave me in a bit of a vulnerable state. So I'm praying and asking the Lord to remove this stony heart of flesh and replace it with, as he already has in his word, but to manifest that replacement of that stony heart with a new heart of flesh, to be able to walk in his, in the freedom of his word and his unity with the Holy Spirit, and in the total sanctification that I'm craving and looking for. So that's my confession, testimony, and prayer all in one.
Amen. Okay. All right. It's always good to hear practical everyday parallels with the Word of God. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody got anything to say or comment? Anybody got something they want to talk about? You raise your hand, Missy. Okay. Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
Well, I meant to bring it up earlier, but I guess I didn't want to get too carried away and take up a lot of time. But no, what you said, Pat, about the faction, that's probably what's been attacking me at work lately. I mean, I think I sent you a text, Michael, earlier, pray for me there a bit. I kind of get distracted lately, and prayer and reading, yeah. You know, I mean, that's a struggle, but maybe that's what's attacking me lately. I got an old coworker, the one I brought up several times. Chris is his name. I mean, since day one, I don't know what I did to get on his bad side, but he's just lately, I guess it's always little cutting, you know, critical, disrespectful comments here and there. I mean, I'm finding myself being short with some people. I think lately a big thing with me is just the complaining. You know, a lot of folks love to complain. I mean, several folks love to complain about everything. You know, I mean, anything and everything. And it's just, I guess I'm losing patience with those people myself. But yeah, this one guy I noticed, Chris, it's like he's the toughest one, I guess. It's going to be I could use prayer. God, give me some grace to, if I have to, I mean, you know, that's what it looks like to confront him, say, hey, man, I have nothing against you. You know, whatever I did, I'm sorry. You know, I know you don't like me. You know, you've tried to get me fired since day one. You know, I mean, I guess I just stood up for myself pretty much. I think he's kind of the bully, manipulative type. And I guess, you know, that's what it seems like. So, I mean, thanks for bringing that up at least, Pat, you know, about the faction, because I think that's probably what I've been getting attacked with. And, but I think, most of all for me, you know, I would deal with that, you know, just having grace on others, you know, I keep forgetting, I guess, you know, hey, they're lost, you know, they're not, I mean, and I've heard it said several times. I think you said to Michael and the others have, you know, you can't expect them to act any other way than what they act like. You know, they're sinners. They're not saved. They're sinners. And that's all they know. You know, and I guess I still have this attitude that I need prayer for, you know, I tend to expect more out of them, or I tend to get that, I guess, that old attitude. You can pick yourself up by your bootstraps and change, you know, you can change something, you know, but it's like, no, they can't, you know, they're lost. They have no power over their sin. Or, I mean, they probably don't even acknowledge it, that it's a sin, you know, their attitude of stepping on other people and just being like you said about this guy, Pat, you know? So, I mean, it's most of all, it's up to me. So pray that I could, even pray more. You know, I mean, you know, it's kind of lacking in that area. So, I mean, you know, I mean, that's, I'm not taking my responsibility serious. So, you know, I must confess that. And it's, so yeah, I like prayer in those areas. I mean, just kind of not get off, let the enemy get off track with that, but take my responsibility a lot more serious than I have. And, you know, I wanted to confess that. So.
Okay. Yep. All right. Well, Father, we lift up Joe to you.
Yeah.
And we thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in him. I've already seen a big change in him since he's come back onto the conference call. And, Lord, I just ask and I pray, Father, that you put it in his mind and his heart, Lord, to seek you more, because that in itself overcomes the sin when we seek and we pray and we have that, we develop that relationship with you, Lord. You know, Lord, I'm coming to find out more and more daily that the more time we spend alone with you,
yeah,
is the more that you give us the grace to overcome that sin and to overcome those things that have hindered us. Studying is good, Lord. I know it's good. But we also need that personal time with you, Lord, as well. And I just ask that you put it into Joe's heart to do that, Lord. And I thank you for it. And matter of fact, I just pray that for everybody, that we all have more of that personal time with you, Lord, so that we could get to know you more and to understand how to be led by your Spirit and how to be overcomers. And I just praise you, Father, for doing in it in all of us. I come against prayerlessness in everybody, and I command that spirit off of us, that spirit of thinking that I don't have time to pray. I remember what Martin Luther said in some of the writings, you know, that the devil wants to attack me today and is trying to tell me that I don't, because I have all this work to do. He said, I'm just going to devote 3 hours to praying and getting closer to God because of it. And that's what he did. And I just pray, Lord, that you put that type of attitude in us, that when the enemy comes against us and our prayer time with you, our personal time with you, that we would have that resolve to say, okay, devil, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, since you're going to come up with me that I don't have time to do that. I'm just going to make time. I'm just going to spend 3 hours today. If it's only 30 minutes, I mean, I'm going to go ahead on an hour and see how you like that, big boy. And, Lord, that's the attitude that we have to have, and me included. And, Father, I thank you that you placed that in us. Amen. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Okay. Anybody else? Hey, Dave. Go ahead, brother.
I'll read a couple things I got tonight before it came on. Proverbs 29:25-27. The fear of the man proves to be a snare, but whoever puts his trust in the Lord is kept safe. Many seek the ruler's favor, but a man's justice comes from the Lord. A dishonest man detests the righteous, and the upright in their ways detests the wicked. So we see a lot of that in our lives with people around us that we can't quite understand what is going on. Why are they the way they are? But there's that Christ Antichrist thing going on. So if we're aware of that, we can get a good grip on what's happening around us and not be overcome by the evil. I got another one that came in, Proverbs 3. I'm going to start at 13, go through 35 to the end. It says, blessed is one who finds wisdom. Happy is a man who finds wisdom, the man who gets understanding. For her good profit is better than getting silver, and her return is better than fine gold. She is more precious than rubles. None of the things you can desire are to be compared to her. And we're looking for wisdom in what we're talking here tonight. This is from the Lord. So press into the Lord for this wisdom, these things we're going through. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are of pleasantness, our paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her, happy is everyone who retains her. By wisdom the Lord founded the earth, by understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths were broken up, and the skies dropped down the dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely. Your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Don't be afraid of sudden fear, neither the desolation of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being taken. Don't withhold good from those whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do it. Don't say to your neighbor, go and come again tomorrow. I will give it to you when you have it by you. Don't devise evil against your neighbor, since he dwells securely by you. Don't strive with a man without a cause, if he has done you no harm. Don't envy the man of violence. Choose none of his ways. For the perverse is the abomination of the Lord, but his friendship is with the upright. The Lord's curse is in the house of the wicked, but he blesses the habitation of the righteous. Surely he mocks the mockers, but he gives grace to the humble. The wise will inherit glory, but shame will be the promotion of fools. So don't let the evil overcome you that you're being exposed to. Just realize the Lord's still sitting on the throne. We just got to put our life in his hands. And even if there's not correct thoughts in our mind at the time, don't act them out. Set them aside. Let the Lord work out the situation. Have patience and confidence in the Lord, and things will work out fine. Even with the wicked, you know, God's got his time for them. And maybe he's just doing work on us. Don't try to worry about trying to please men. Just worry about pleasing the Lord and doing what's right in his eyes and his sight. And that's what the fear of man is going to be a snare. So don't fear man. Don't worry about that. Just fear God and try to please him. If you screw up, just confess your sin and move on. It's not held against you. Just don't walk in sin. All right?
Amen. Yep, that's good. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Don, go ahead, bro. Wait a minute, Don. Let me unmute you, buddy.
Okay.
Go ahead now.
Yeah, the guy's talking about work. And working in a factory or whatever they were doing that we've been hearing tonight. I was just reminded when I was a young man, I was working at this place where it was a total union place. And the union boss, he was a fiery guy. Oh, he'd get the troops all wound up when we go out on strike on some deal I never could understand. Well, he came to Christ. Now he's an evangelist. Wow, was he a fired up love for the Lord? So because of that, he lost his union job. He's just a soft-spoken guy now. But he needed a little bit more training on being an evangelist. He rubbed more people the wrong way too much. You know, he still, you know, had great love for the Lord. He had pictures, and one area, I don't know how he did it, But when you come in, you'd see these scripture verses there on this one wall. And eventually, 10 years later, he had a heart attack and died. I was never too... We were friends. We were better friends when we'd meet each other on a Sunday afternoon in a restaurant. Sit and talk better rather than there at the at work. So that was something. See that change that take place in him. Something that happened just recently with me. We've been living in this mobile home and nice place, a lot of trees, and we like it there. And down at the other end, right by the kitchen, there's shutters there. And the 5 years we've been there, more than 5 years that we've been there, 6 years, hornets would go into there. We just assumed they were just going into the shutter. So I'd get out a spray and kill them all off. And, you know, it didn't take much. Then there'd be more coming in. Well, early this summer, got a new crop of hornets going in there, and well, fine. But then I didn't pay any attention. All of a sudden, they were gone, and all of a sudden, something new. I thought they were bumblebees at first, but they didn't quite look the thing. So I looked it up on the internet to find out what they were. It turned out to be Asian hornets. And you spray them, they just get mad. Didn't kill them at all. And the body's the size of my little finger. Well, I looked into it a little bit, found out that they have the worst sting of anything and the most pain. And it even attacks your bone, it said. Well, I rent the place, and the have an interesting landlord at that time. He's great in telling you what to do, then stand back and have you do it. What a guy. We got a lot of jokes about him. Anyway, I was doing what he wanted me to do. Brandy came over, and he had one of those big spray cans that shoot about 20 feet, and that didn't do any good. And the landlord wanted me to throw gas on it. Well, I was throwing things on it, and it just get them all stirred up. But the interesting thing is they wouldn't go past the rail there, because at the end of the rail would be where the shutter was, and they're up there in that shutter. And after a while, then I found out about what they were like. That kind of shook me up. I wouldn't want any of those things stinging me. And but they never come my way. They wouldn't. They just buzz around there, and not go past the rail. I guess apparently, you know, I guess the Lord was protecting me, so I never got stung. Well, then the landlord had one of the exterminating agencies come in and took care of them. It took them hours just to kill them. They'd come into the house and make little holes in the wall and spray poison in there. About half a dozen little holes, but after 2 or 3 hours, they're finally all dead. So that's quite a time of killing, just spraying all the time. Finally, that took care of them.
Well, that begs to ask this question.
Yes.
What chemicals did they use? Was it DDT? Was it 2,4-D?
I don't know what they used.
Agent Orange, I don't know, you know.
I looked at the at the bottle, and it looked like any other spray to me.
Oh, yeah, they all do. Mm-hmm.
They just kept after it. Apparently, okay. They don't have DDT.
I don't know. I'm kidding you about that. They outlawed DDT back in the 60s.
I figured somebody's got to have a use of it, and I figured some professional people like that would have DDT. I had an uncle who was in the Army in the South Pacific. He says he was on Saipan. The place is just loaded with mosquitoes. It was terrible. Two planes flew over and sprayed DDT, and there wasn't a mosquito anywhere.
That's right. That's good stuff for that, boy, I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, the thing, it's so good, the reason why it becomes inert after a month. So that's just a perfect spray.
You talking about what they sprayed that hornet with?
DDT.
Oh, DDT.
I was reading this book that was against exposing that famous book that came out that, what was it, Spring? The word Spring? Silent Spring or something that was supposed to be the main book that... for political reasons, DDT was outlawed, according to that book. It said that the DDT, after 30 days or so, it becomes inert. So it's a perfect spray, according to that book.
Yeah. I'm not sure which book you're talking about, and I don't want to know, so that's good. Well, yeah,
Silent Spray, his famous book.
Yeah.
That might be the name of it, Silent Spring.
Okay, I believe you. Go ahead, Dave.
I had a boss that used DDT on his property years ago. The guy was talking about using DDT before they outlawed it. And he said that was real effective, but it's pretty soon he realized there weren't any birds around anymore either. I think he killed off the birds. So that's some pretty strong stuff.
Probably bird just killed off their food.
Maybe that's what it was. You notice there weren't any birds flying around.
Yeah, that's what DDT does. It kills all the bugs.
I wanted to say I read those passages, but I wasn't trying to be a preaching and or anything like that or come against anybody. I wasn't trying to do that, make anybody feel like I'm being self-righteous or something. That wasn't my intent. Hope nobody got that impression. So
no, I don't think anyone did.
No, I did. It wasn't my intent.
Yeah. Well, you know, talking about DDT, when I was a kid, in the cotton fields, there was cotton field right behind my house. We'd get out there in the cotton fields when they were spraying that DDT on them just to get close to the airplane, you know. And I grew up all right. Ain't nothing wrong with me. You know, it never affected me at all. No.
You do have that little talk there.
Get that little twang in your voice, you know.
Yeah, that southern drawl, that's that DDT did too. Yeah, and that Agent Orange, we sprayed that stuff on our rice fields for many, many years until they outlawed it. It never affected me. That never did. that I know of. Well, I know it did now because I'm a child of God, and I don't have to worry about it. Praise God. Okay, well, we could get off the chemical stuff, I guess. We're not under the curse, are we? Praise God. Okay. Anybody got anything else they'd like to talk about other than DDT and Agent Orange? If not, I've got a little bit of something here. That's what I was doing a while ago. I was looking for it. And this is out of Andrew Murray's Abide in Christ, and it's, "So you will have power in prayer." And he quotes John 15:7. He says, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." John 15:7. And Murray says, "Prayer is both one of the means and one of the fruits of union to Christ. As a means, it's of unspeakable importance." Let me mute you, Don. "All the things of faith, all the pleadings of desire, all the yearnings after a full surrender, all the confessions of shortcoming and of sin, all the exercises in which the soul gives up self and clings to Christ, find their utterance in prayer. In each meditation on abiding in Christ, as some new feature of what Scripture teaches concerning this blessed life is apprehended, the first impulse of the believer is at once to look up to the Father and pour out his heart into his and ask from him the full understanding and the full possession of what he has been shown in the Word. And it is the believer who is not content with this spontaneous expression of his hope, but who takes time in secret prayer to wait until he has received and laid hold of what he has seen, who will really grow strong in Christ. However feeble the soul's first abiding, his prayer will be heard, and it will find prayer to be one of the great means of abiding more abundantly." Amen. Somebody told me once, they said, "God wants to hear everything." They said that we should tell everything to God. We should walk and tell God everything, just like a best friend. Somebody that's our best friend, he ought to be our best friend, and just tell him everything. Confess everything to him. Ask him the questions that we want to ask him. And just talk to him just like you would your best friend, your bud, so to speak. You know what a bud is, don't you? A bud is somebody you can sit on the front porch with a glass of iced tea and not have to say nothing to him. You just feel comfortable with him. And God, that's the way God wants us to be with him. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to tell him everything that's on our mind. "Lord, this is bothering me today. Can you help me out? You know, I know you can help me out. I just want to tell you about it." And just talk to him just like you would your best buddy. Just tell him everything. And watch what happens. You'll see a change in your heart. You'll see a change in the way you see people. You'll see a change in your whole love aspect of your heart, because you'll start loving people just like God loves you, because he'll start giving you these answers you want. But you have to show a dedication to it. I just thought I'd throw that in there a little bit. I had a real good friend of mine. We talked about the closeness of God, and it was awesome for me. It was revelatory for me how we should be. God ought to be our best friend, our best bud. Amen. You know, a lot of people like to pray, and they like to say the thee and the thous and the all that kind of stuff. Some of these, you know, preachers do. Oh, thou God in heaven. You know, and they start all that stuff. I just talk to them in my old southern drawl, you know. I just say, hey, Lord, I just need some help here. This old country boy's having some problems here. I need you to cleanse my heart. And I tell you why, because I did this or I did that. And, you know, you cry a little bit and you ask God to forgive you. And he does. And he loves on you after you do it, you know. That's the kind of relationship that everybody ought to have with God. It's the best friend type of attitude. Because that's what he wants. Just think of this. You fathers and you mothers out there, you always want your children to talk to you and to tell you their problems and to tell you their good and their bad parts of them, you know. You want to just be their best friend, you know. But you also want to give them, direct them, and steer them in the right way. That's the way God is. He wants to hear from us. He wants to hear from us whether it's good or bad. So he can either, you know, show us through his grace. It's always through his grace and his love that he corrects us. He's not sitting up there with a ball bat waiting to knock us out of here. He's our Father. That's the Father we're talking about here. And what he wants to do, he wants to have that direct relationship with each one of us. And when we do that, and this person also said, you know, when we pray to the Father 24/7 or all the time, we're not, you know, praying like you talk about praying. We just sit and talk to him. You don't have to, you know, oh, Lord, I tell you, you know, you don't have to. Just talk to him in an everyday tone, just like I'm talking to you right now. That's what he wants. That's praying constantly. It's talking to him. And you can do it in your mind, too, because he can read your mind. He made your mind. He can read your mind. Come on now. I just thought I'd throw that in there because I had a lovely friend of mine tell me that today, and they were so right in that relationship that we have with the Lord. Amen. All right. Go ahead, Joe.
I actually needed to hear that. Right. Well, it helped because, you know, when I kind of left the religious, you know, system, I mean, it just blew me away. At times, I guess I kind of, you know, look at it now and I'm thinking, yeah, that's somebody who talks like you just said to God, you know, just has that, you know, Lord, what's, I mean, I found that, you know, for me, I guess, you know, to call him Lord, you know, that I could really call him Lord. And I feel comfortable about that, you know, because I used to listen to all the Pharisees out there. To put it lightly, and like you said, you know, they got to have this, there's this certain attitude about the way you speak to God. You know, he's a holy and perfect being, so we gotta approach him somehow. And you know, when I just kind of left those churches, I thought, no, that's like the furthest thing from what he wants. You know, I mean, when I was frustrated or I was irritated about something, I mean, I came to him that way, you know, because I guess I was always told you never come to God, you know, a certain way. You always got to come to him with that. What's the term? You know, just that certain attitude, like you said, you know, using the these and the thous and all that stuff. And it's like I learned it, I mean, it just dawned on me. I was like, no, you know, that's the furthest thing he wants. He just wants you to come to him like you would as a child, you know, I mean, and I think that's what kind of I realized as a young child, you know, just come to him, you know, he's your Father and he loves you. But yeah, I didn't think he loved me, you know, I didn't know that he loved me at the time. So yeah, I had to approach him with that fear, you know, I mean, just, you know, careful that he wouldn't strike me down. But yeah, I realized that's the total opposite of how he is. But I must confess, I kind of picked up that attitude, kind of running back into that little Baptist church up in New York. And just kind of, there's a certain way you got to approach God. And, you know, I miss that. I mean, I want that back, just that, you know, mentality like, hey, You know, God just wants you to come to him. You know, I mean, if with the good or the bad, come to him. You know, he wants to help you. He wants to, I mean, if he needs to correct you, he will correct you. Or if he wants to change your heart, like you said, and you know, I remember that time he would love on you, you know, and he would do that to me, help me to understand everything's okay. You know, it'll be all right. Well, you know, I love you. I'm here for you as a loving father would, I guess. I mean, I never had that, but I mean, I kind of realized that, you know, just to calm you in the midst of those trials and those storms and just kind of settle you down, you know, as a loving father would their child who's kind of upset, you know, just to be there for them and just say, it's okay, you know, everything will be all right. And that's what he had to do with me a lot of times. So it's like, I desire that, just that attitude back, you know, hey, I mean, I can come to God regardless of how I feel. Because I think, you know, more and more the enemy lately kind of hits me all, you know, you know, they put those thoughts in my head. He doesn't have time for you, Joe. Come on, you know better. You know, you messed up. Like I'm sure, you know, you felt at times, probably Pat, like, you know, oh, I messed up and the enemy will hit you. You know, you messed up. Don't you even think about going to God. He's not happy with you. And it's like, no, you know, it's the, yeah, it's the total opposite. So thank you for sharing that, Michael. Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Yeah, so go ahead.
The Lord just reminded me of a song he had given me a few years back about recognizing how much we can just come to him without any hindrance, you know. And he knows our heart anyway, so we can't hide anything from him. But if I can share that song?
Oh, sure, yeah, go right ahead. Okay. You want me to hum along with you?
Huh?
No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead. Go ahead.
You are my refuge. You are my strength. I can take my heart to you, and I know you'll understand. You are my refuge. You are my strength. I can give you all of me, and I know you will receive. You help me out in my time of need. You give me wisdom to understand. You give your love to see me through. You are my refuge. I will follow you. You are my refuge. I will stay with you. I shortened it, but anyway. Yeah, that's helped me a lot, because that's what it's all about. If we can't go to him, who can we go to?
Amen. That's good. Thank you. Go ahead, Missy.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
yeah, thank you.
I looked up here. I remember, I didn't know where it was, but I remember the Lord saying about that, you know, he's called us friends, or he was talking to his disciples at the same time, but, you know, for a disciple, the Lord were his friend too. But anyway, there seems like the ones that kind of mostly talk about the Lord talking about us being his friend are in John. And the first one I found is John 15:13, and it says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's what Jesus did for us, but we're to do the same. And then verse 14, ye are my friends, a condition here, if ye do the things which I command you. And then actually all three of these are, I just looked them up. I didn't realize they were all three, one verse right after another. And then 15, John 15:15 says, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known unto you. That one's my favorite. Because that's
what was that again? What was that again, Missy?
John 15:15.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting too. 15 means rest. So, you know, if you think about it, you know, the Lord being your friend and just telling him everything, that's such a rest to be able to do that, you know, and have a conversation with him. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known unto you. Wow.
Yeah, me too.
It's funny. Thank you. Just the other morning I was go ahead, Michael.
No, go ahead, Malcolm.
I was just the other morning I was, well, the other, I guess a couple nights ago, our dog has had a heart condition in which one of his valves is ballooning up and they don't do surgery. And so I've been wanting to walk by faith in this matter, and anyway, the other night our dog started really gasping for breath and caught, and it's just really bad. So I decided again to start fasting, and anyway, the next morning I was just because I want to be walking in such a way that I'm seeing, you know, walking in the gospel myself, and seeing, you know, our animals healed, and praying for people, and all that kind of thing happening on a regular basis. And so it was interesting. The next morning when I opened the Bible up to spend some time with the Lord, I opened up right there to John 15. And the top of my Bible, at the top of the page where my eye fell, where it said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done for you, by, you know, by my Father. And which was just before where Missy was just reading there. And anyway, it really affected me because I felt like the Lord had actually answered my question. You know what I mean? So it just was so thankful. It seems like all day long I was so thankful. It was a mild rebuke and whatnot, but it was, I needed that. And God's rebukes often are very, very over the top gentle, it seems like. Or he could be, you know, more like what Jesus said, oh, thou of little faith, or, you know, unbelief, and got pretty upset about things like that. Yeah, that's a very precious John 15 there is just very precious text. It seems so hard to grasp that, you know, I've called, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. You should go and bring forth fruit. And I especially like, and that your fruit shall remain.
Yeah, that thing is full of God's love there. Okay. Anyone else?
Well, wasn't John the one apostle that lived the longest too? Like he died of natural causes?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess that's why he wanted him around for so long with the people, because he talked so much about love. You know, like all the other apostles were taken, you know, and even Paul said it'd be a far better thing to go, but I'm still here for you guys, put it in my own words, you know.
Yeah. But,
he kept John around for a long time, and I guess he died of old age, or... And because you know that love thing is really a lot needed for any century you live in. So
yeah, John had a unique position with the Lord. You know, he was the one that had his head on his chest most of the time, and he loved the Lord, and the Lord loved him. When who was it? Was it Peter? Somebody asked him, one of the disciples asked him, well, what about John? When's he going to die, you know? He said, that ain't none of your business.
Yeah, that's at the end of John, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. And then John lived, and, boy, just made an impact. Okay. Anyone else? You know, I don't really think that we as humans can comprehend the love that God has for us until we conquer the flesh and understand his love for us. That's just my take on it. I don't know, you know. I know that... I'm understanding more and more each day how much he does love me.
You know, today at work, I was sort of talking to the Lord about all the things, reviewing my entire life with him and all the things that came up. And I would say, like, you remember when that happened, Lord? How you brought me through that, and I was thankful, and even some of the things I even repented again it was kind of like a confession, thankfulness, and for the things he brought me through, you know, as you're growing in the Lord, as he's even drawing you, because he never stops drawing you ever closer to him, you know, just like the bad things that happened in your life and you know, the good things too, you know, and you just remember things and you talk with them about your daily life, you know, right up to the present day, and you think about some of the stuff that how he's going to continue with you in the future, and that I just found was very soothing and relaxing when I had that extra time at work to think about that.
There we go.
Okay. It works a lot better when you unmute. Praise the Lord for the mute and unmute button.
We're listening by faith, Michael.
Okay. I appreciate it.
Okay. You sat so still, I thought you froze there.
No, I was talking, Andrew. I was trying to get Pat to recite what he just put up in the chat group. Or Zoom group chat thing, and I couldn't figure out why he couldn't hear me. Pat, I'm, you know. Then I looked over there and said, "Oh my goodness." Okay, Pat, do you mind?
Sure. yeah, I was posted that because it was funny. That was when I went to sleep the other night, I was reading that, just flopped open my iPad, and it was open. I mean, that's what I must have been reading it before or whatever, but it's interesting that Jesus, right at the time of his death, you know, in the cross, he spoke to his mother, and that disciple whom he loved, he said in verse 26, he said, "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her under his own home, into his own home." So I just thought it's to a certain degree, it's amazing that the Lord, right there at that time, dying on the cross and in such pain, what was he doing but thinking of his mother? Wanted to fulfill that last righteous motivation, taking care of his mother. So it's just tremendous. Anyway, I read it, Michael.
There's two things I see out of that. It was really interesting because here John's writing it, and he recognizes he made the statement that Jesus loved him. He knew Jesus loved him, the disciple whom he loved. And I think many of us have to get to that point. We feel that same way. And he didn't feel one bit of reservation to say that. You know, he knew the love of the Lord. He knew that Jesus loved him. Father loved him. That's a very good, mature place to be. Mm-hmm. I think the other thing I noticed is very mature, and it's something that we all do, and I think you see a lot of people on deathbed do what Jesus did, was he's concerned about things on the earth to make sure that he's taking care of any loose ends. And he had his, John, hey, take care of my mother while I'm gone. She's now your son. And mother, mom, he's going to be your son. John, you're going to be your, she's going to be your, she's going to be your mother. To set that aside, that's one thing I can take care of while I'm on my way out. Mm-hmm. It's just the human nature of us, you know. I've noticed other people on deathbeds close, all of a sudden they're still thinking about these earthly things. They want to tie up and make sure it's in place before they leave. And Jesus just shows how tied in with us, with the human nature and being in human form still, and all man was taking care of things before he left, just like anybody else would. And it's issue how close we are to with Jesus. Now he is close to us and understands us. So just one of those two points.
Amen.
Yeah, Michael.
Yeah, Don.
Yeah, I was just thinking of what they said. It made me think of that song by Don Moen, God Will Make a Way. Yeah. He got that those words after getting, you know, when his wife got a call from her parents saying that her sister and husband were killed in an auto accident, instantly killed. I was just thinking of that. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. Now, here's flesh and blood involved in that situation there. I was just thinking of the apostle John. He must have thought that way when Jesus died. What am I going to do now?
Amen.
To him, and maybe to the other disciples, they must have thought. Because they didn't really have the faith that he'd rise again from the dead. What are we going to do now? What it seemed like just they had no way. But God will make a way when there seems to be no way. I think about that song a lot.
Amen. You know, sometimes we get our eyes on the things around us rather than on God. And this verse is, always comes to my mind here lately, and that is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That came to my mind this afternoon, as a matter of fact. So all we need to do is just keep our eyes on Jesus. The circumstances around us, like Don was talking about, it didn't make any difference what happens, but we just keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep our eyes on Jesus. What's that, Don?
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you just agreeing. Okay. Praise God. Well, all right. Because we don't know what's going to happen in the future other than the fact that God's going to make it all right, isn't he? Everything's going to be cool. Because he puts these circumstances, I have this thing in my mind. He puts these circumstances around us to test us and to keep us in check so that we will keep our eyes on him, because sometimes we get off on the wrong trail, don't we? And when we get off on the wrong trail, God said, hey, wait a minute, you need to get back up on the right road here. And once you get back up on the right road, you understand that whatever you want in your heart, if you seek God with all your heart, then the best things are going to happen, right? And that's God. I don't know if that made any sense, but it did to me. Praise God. All right. All right, anybody else got anything they'd like to share before we close out tonight? It's been a good night. I enjoyed it. It's kind of a bittersweet, but I enjoyed it. Go ahead, Dave.
I was just going to share one thing about the prayer thing was I've always kind of in my mind and always in my personal, when I'm talking to the Lord, I just talk to him. You know, it's just, I just felt like that was a natural thing to do. And I don't always talk out loud. I'm in talking to him in my mind a lot, you know, when I do, when I take the time to do it. But then I also notice the other thing that can happen here, and this should be the wake-up call every time. When you feel like you can't have that conversation with the Lord for some reason, what's the hindrance? What's holding it back? Where did Satan find a way to stop that conversation from going forth? And that's get rid of the hindrance, get rid of the block, and realize that flow between you and the Lord should never be stopped. If it gets stopped, you got to find out what stopped it and get rid of it. And, you know, realize, no, there isn't a stop there. There's a liar that's getting in the way and holding you back from having your conversation with your Lord and your God, and don't let that happen. You know, if it's sin, confess it, whatever it is, well, don't let them get in your way to hold you back from having that conversation all the time, and an open conversation to be able to take place between you and the Lord. So just look for the hindrance that's in the way. If there's a hindrance, find out what it is, isolate it, and get rid of it. That's the only thing I want to confess, talk about, you know, with the prayer thing.
Amen. Yeah, the prayer is just talking to God. That's all. Just like I'm fixing to do here to close us out. Father, I just thank you for this great bunch of folks here. And I thank you, Lord, that you've impressed upon me today, this afternoon late, that I can just walk around and talk to you just like my old bud, you know? And because you are. You said you're my brother. And I believe it. And I'm going to do more of it, a whole lot more of it, because, you know, I can talk in my mind too. And I can just talk all kinds of ways. Some people understand me, some don't. That's okay. But I know you do. And Lord, I just praise you for the proverbial wisdom that has generated through this great bunch of people here, Lord. The revelations that we come to in these meetings is just astounding. And I enjoy them, and I hope everybody else does. And I ask, Lord, that you place it in our hearts to pray for one another. You know, we can do that. Even while we're working, we can pray. We can just talk to you and pray and do it. I do exactly that. Just pray for one another. You know, and I just thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, for your good night's sleep you're going to give us tonight, because I know it's going to be awesome. Give some of us, if not all of us, a good dream, Lord, of encouragement or correction, whatever it might be, Lord. And that we'd wake up in the morning and know that you still love us, because both comes in love, and I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that when we come together again Thursday night, that love even grows stronger for one another in our hearts. That agape love is just bounding in our hearts for each other. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to do that. I thank you, Lord, for placing it in not only Joe's heart, but everybody's heart to begin to just pray and to talk with you. You know, we talk about getting in the closet. That's fine. That's a great way to do it. But also when we're even walking around or talking or working or whatever it is that you've got us doing, we can still talk to you. We can still continually be praying. Lord, I just thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, for giving us, all of us, your grace and your mercy. Lord, fill us up with your Holy Spirit for tomorrow's, when we get up and we start praying, Lord, just fill us up so we'll be able to slosh on everybody around us, the Holy Spirit. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean that in a good way, kind of like Peter when he went out and the people thought that his shadow was healing him when all it was the anointing of Christ on him. The anointing of God himself upon him was healing all those folks out there. And I thank you for that, Father. I know the times are coming that we're going to need that. And I thank you, Lord, that that's coming soon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good night, everybody. We love you.
Amen.
Amen.
And good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Good night.